Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Hey, Justin, that's enough. And he waves and says hi, and he tosses him.
Hey, kidding me?
You should be able to say whatever you want to the umpires. The umpires are barely humans.
I don't know about
barely
anything
human.
Dale Arnold.
I say he's the third greatest quarterback of all time because I don't do it all by rings. I just don't think that's fair.
It's not fair.
I think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. I think John Elway's number two, and I think Tom Brady's three.
Rich Keefe.
Elway, you were a high school legend.
I was a nice high school player.
Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. There is a truism about sports, and it's been this way as long as I've been following sports my entire adult life, and it's that bad things happen to bad teams. If you've got a team that's on a roll, the Red Sox last summer, there wasn't a disparaging word to be heard. I mean, everybody was happy, couldn't wait to get to the park every day. Everybody loved everybody. Sure, you need something? Whatever you need. Yeah, I'll help you out with that. Bad stuff happens around bad teams. I was doing Patriots games back during the Lisa Olsen Zeke Mowat incident.
Not great.
And it was a bad team, and it was a bad atmosphere, and bad stuff happened. And I'm not trying to equate what happened Sunday in Chicago with that. I'm just saying that this stuff happens around teams that are really bad. So Sunday, the Mets are playing in Chicago against the Cubs. They have a tough loss, brutal loss to the Cubs. There's kind of a tense post-game session.
Well, and part of it, too, is they blew another game, right? Then they didn't go. So they have Edwin Diaz. Remember, they traded for Edwin Diaz, and there were some rumors that the Red Sox might trade for Edwin Diaz from the Mariners. He had to also take on Robinson Cano. So the Mets get Edwin Diaz, supposed to be one of the best closers in all of baseball. And it's a kind of a classic situation that we talked about last couple of years when Craig Kimbrell was here is, all right, at what point can you use them for four or five outs, right? At what point can you do it? And so yesterday, there's a chance where, you know what, maybe you bring in Diaz and have him get five outs and you win the game against the Cubs. They leave Seth Lugo in, who's been like their setup man, and he serves up a tater or whatever. And so Diaz never even pitched in the game, and I think he's pitched once in like 8 days. So that's also part of it. It's not like he's pitched in back-to-back games. I think they're just trying to, like Kimbrell, not have him get four or five or six outs either ever or certainly not that often. And so that clearly is going to be one of the questions that gets asked in the postgame.
And it did. Postgame, they asked him about it. He said, again, no, we're not going to use him for five outs. I know you guys keep on asking, but my answer is going to stay the same. Okay, fine. You know, there were times I'm sure that Alex Cora didn't like answering questions about Kimbrell's usage and using him for four outs
we
or five
outs. We know
Farrell
did, personally.
Yes,
we know
exactly.
He was not a fan of those line of questioning.
So apparently, according to one of the people that we've talked to, after the game there was also a rather tense session behind closed doors between the manager and the general manager.
Yeah, Mickey Callaway is the manager of the
Mets. Like he's in a little over his head.
I would say so. This is year two for him. Last year they were below 500. This year they're four games below 500, and they have some talent.
Yep.
That dude Alonso is on pace for like a 50 home run season and like 130 something RBI. Like, he is fantastic. They got some good young players. They got some good pitchers, but they're struggling. And a big part of it is, I think they have now blown like 15 or 16. The most
more
blown
than the
saves,
Red Sox.
More than the Red
the
Sox.
The only team that's blown more saves than the Red Sox.
Yeah, the most in the National League. They've blown a ton of saves, including yesterday.
So the only guy who might be in deeper over his head than Mickey Callaway is the general manager, Brody Van Wagenen.
That's not a real name.
I know. I'm sorry, but that's the man's name.
Can't possibly be a real name.
So reportedly, there was a rather tense behind closed doors session between the manager and the general manager. And I'm sure it was along the lines of, gee, Mickey, did you think about bringing in Diaz, you know, to get five outs? I'm sure. And by the way, I think these things happen in every clubhouse in America. I think that there are times when, you know, Dave Dombrowski goes behind closed doors with Alex Cora and said, hey, why'd you pinch hit that guy
in
that spot?
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But things are going bad in New York, and Mickey Callaway's feeling the heat. So after the post-game press conference, after he's talked with his general manager, he sees, Mickey Callaway sees Newsday reporter Tim Healy in the clubhouse. Tim Healy says the four fateful words.
Yeah, this is brutal.
He says to Callaway, see you tomorrow, Mickey.
By the way,
everybody who heard it said he wasn't being a smart aleck. It wasn't dripping with sarcasm.
Right, this is also a guy who is not confrontational. Like, he's not one of the, I'm sure every team has one beat reporter that you're almost waiting for him to be kind of snarky, or you're waiting for him to, like, ruffle feathers. By all accounts, I don't know him, but just from reading up on the situation
yesterday. This ain't the guy, supposedly.
No, he's not the guy. And I guess it's also very common for him to say, see you tomorrow, travel safe, that kind of thing, when they're leaving. Because guess what? These guys spend all year together. They all go to the next city. They all do all that stuff. So, see you tomorrow. Because guess what? He was, in fact, going to see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's assuming Mickey's still there.
To which Callaway responded, don't be a smartass MF, while he was walking away. So, a few minutes... Now, Healy doesn't respond.
Yeah.
Callaway walks away. He comes back through the clubhouse a few minutes later. Healy, I guess trying to defend himself, is saying to Callaway, listen, I was just trying to be polite.
Yeah, it wasn't being
I didn't
sarcastic.
Mean anything. I was just trying to be polite.
Because if you just read it, I guess you could see how if the manager has a really,
right.
He's so pissed, they've just lost the game, and then he's like, he kind of ends it short, and he's walking off, and you're like, all right, see you tomorrow, Alex. Like, you could see how it could be sarcastic, but again, by everybody, all accounts there, it wasn't.
So Mickey told Healy he thought that the remark was antagonistic. He starts yelling to the Mets PR guy, get that bleeper out of here. We don't need that BS.
He said, shut the bleep up. Get out of my face. Get out of here. As they're trying to throw this poor guy is just trying to write about this terrible Mets team.
Yeah, which,
trying
by to the grab way, a couple of pull quotes.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, right. This guy's got a terrible job. He's gonna write about this team, and now they're trying to throw him out of the clubhouse.
So just after that, there's a pitcher by the name of Jason Vargas, who might be a bigger jerk than Mickey Callaway.
Yeah, he kind of sounds like it, huh?
He apparently thought Healy was looking at him. Oh, no.
I hope that's not true.
So he says to Healy, the writer, he says, what are you looking at? So
I don't know, man.
Healy responds, it looked like you have something to say.
Oh, God.
To which Vargas started after him. I'll knock the bleep out, bro. I'll knock you the bleep out, bro.
Okay.
So two players, Noah Syndergaard and another player, Carlos Gomez, they get between the pitcher and the reporter. They hold him back. They don't let him go beat the crap out of Tim Healy.
What if they didn't? Was he really going to go fight him? So is Jason Vargas
was trying
to fight a beat reporter? I mean, that does sum up that whole Mets situation that's going on.
So now Vargas, by the way, has been in the major leagues for 14 years. He's been in enough clubhouses.
Yes.
He's been around reporters enough. He knows what goes on.
Did you look at me? Yeah, I mean, he must know this guy.
In the latest collective bargaining agreement, it says, quote, physical abuse or threats directed to members of the media and or official scorers by baseball personnel will not be tolerated.
Yeah, you don't fight
disciplinary
the media,
action, including fines and suspensions, will be considered in any cases that arise. So then the Mets have to put out a release. Now, Healy leaves. He says, you know what? This is not worth it. He leaves the clubhouse.
Yeah, they weren't done, right? Because I think Edwin Diaz hadn't spoke yet or something like that. And so he leaves, and the beat reporters are all still there. And by the way, Vargas was on the team last year and this year. Obviously this year, but he was on the team last year. And so he must know this guy a little bit.
He's seen him around the clubhouse.
Right.
So the Mets have to release a statement later in the day on Sunday. Quote, the Mets sincerely regret the incident that took place with one of our beat writers following today's game in the clubhouse. We do not condone this type of behavior from any employee. The organization has reached out and apologized to this reporter and will have further discussions internally with all involved parties, unquote.
Yeah.
Now, the general manager, who has the fake name, apparently,
because
you don't think Brody Van Wagenen is the real name.
I don't trust that for a second.
He was not supposed to go to Philadelphia.
But something, he's got a change of tune there?
Now, apparently, he's going to be in Philadelphia today. The question is, will Mickey Callaway be in Philadelphia today? Because most people following the team thought Mickey Callaway was on thin ice anyway.
Yeah, I bet he is. And then this also, so this was when he was asked, and not by Healy. He was asked by a Yahoo Sports reporter, again, would you reconsider using Edwin Diaz for a five-out situation?
Right.
Ask me if this sounds like a Farrell kind of response as well. He says, no, just because you think so? Absolutely not. We have a very good plan. We know what we're doing, and we're going to stick to it. It's like, yeah, you had a plan, but you've also blown 15 saves or 17 saves or whatever it is now. And I don't think that's an unfair question. Right, and again, that's one of those things where
it's the sort of thing that if you're the manager of a baseball team, you expect you're going to get asked.
But that's such
now
a,
your answer may not be what they want to hear.
Yeah, but it's also such a ridiculous response. As if no, why? What do you think? And like because you're the manager.
We're asking you what you think.
You're the manager,
the man who makes the decision.
You're the one who's actually the next time out going to either put Diaz in that situation or not. You're also the one that the fans want to know what you're going to do. They don't care if a beat reporter from Yahoo would have gone with Edwin Diaz in the eighth inning. They don't really care about that. They want to get his answer to it. So, yeah, they're a mess. And again, they have pretty good talent. And so that's really just another reason to maybe can this guy. Think about it. If their record is better late in games, they might be a playoff team even. Like, they're not a
and
lost
struggling.
Cause. Yeah, they are. They're absolutely struggling. But I was just loving it when I was reading all this stuff yesterday about you got Vargas saying he's going to fight one of the media members. Then they're trying to throw him out of there. The guy said, see you tomorrow, Mickey. If see you tomorrow, Mickey, is what sets you off. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Now, again, depending on who's saying it, you know, maybe you would take it the wrong way. But by all accounts, I don't know Tim Healy, but talking to people who do, they said, no, he's the last person who would be trying to antagonize. He might be naive.
Yeah.
You know, hey, see you tomorrow, Mickey, when you know, you're not having the best day at work. Maybe you need to not drop that in there.
No, I know. But that is hilarious. You think he's going to lose his job over this?
I think that they've been thinking about it anyway.
Yeah,
I think he's on thin ice.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing where you almost wonder if it's just too much for him at this point?
Yes.
I think the general manager's in over his head. I think Callaway's in over his head. This just is further example of why he is probably in over his head.
Yeah.
If he can't answer questions about moves that he's made on the field, and if he then, you know, screams at the PR guy, get that bleeper out of here, because he said, see you tomorrow, Mickey?
See you tomorrow, Mickey. And he was mad because they were asked if you would reconsider. Again, if you just lose a game, and again, going back to this game, they were playing the Cubs, they're at home, they have a 3-2 lead in the eighth inning. And they say, you know what, we're going to leave Seth Lugo in, and then he served up a 3-run tater to Baez. And then you end up losing 5-3. So, of course, the first question is going to be, would you reconsider going with Edwin Diaz, who is supposed to be one of these great closers in the league, and he hasn't pitched in a while? Would you think about maybe tossing him out there? Would you reconsider?
Alex Cora got asked that all the time.
Right.
About you know, Craig Kimbrell, would you consider using him for more outs? You know, do you consider using him in other positions?
What would you expect the questions to be? Like, what else do they care about? Like, oh, back in the third inning, you had this. No, eighth inning, what's going on with this team? And they can't figure it out, and so I could definitely see him getting canned. Although their GM, I mean, they also have bad ownership too. Like if you go to the tippy top there, the Mets.
Bad things happen around bad teams.
Yeah, they're a mess, but it's fun to watch from afar. Because as bad as the Red Sox have been this year, and as much as they've
struggled,
you don't
have that stuff happening.
We have not seen, you know, Matt Barnes try to fight a media member or Alex Cora get mad because somebody said "See you tomorrow, Alex." Haven't had that yet. So it hasn't been pretty, Dale, but at least there are certainly no New York Mets.
When the organization feels compelled to apologize for your behavior, that's usually a bad sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if Mark Hannon had to put out a release apologizing for Dale and Keefe.
Yeah, not good.
Dale and Keefe might not be in real good position here if that happened.
No, that's not good. It's like automatically you get two strikes on you.
Yes.
No matter what. And then you get
do have to apologize for some of the things you've said, but
you did.
They haven't done it publicly yet. So.
It was a busy baseball weekend, because did you see what happened to my guy Justin Turner?
I did.
So, Justin Turner, of course, plays for the LA Dodgers, and this goes back to my umpire thing.
Radical red beard.
He does. Yeah. He looks like Tormund Giantsbane, and he has he didn't like one of the calls there. So, he was going up there. The umpires, we talked about them a lot last week, and I stand by my stance more than ever before. He was up at the plate, and pitch real like outside, didn't like it. He asked the ump about it. The ump said, you know, it was a strike, whatever. So then the pitcher, to his credit, throws the ball the exact same spot. And this time Turner knows that he's probably going to get called for a strike. So he swings at it, just kind of a lazy grounder, and he grounds out.
Gets thrown up by 30 feet at first.
Yeah, so then two batters later, the guy, whoever's up for the Dodgers, there's a bad pitch, and gets called a strike. And Turner yells from the bench something along the lines of, hey, like, let's keep it on the plate. And then so the umpire turns and looks at Justin Turner, and Turner waves, smiles and waves. That's it, smiles and waves. What does the umpire do?
You're out of here.
Throws him out of the game. Throws him out of the game.
And he's letting Dave Roberts know, and somebody just got thrown out of the game.
I hope it's not Justin Turner.
And I think it is Turner. I think you're right.
That's pretty sensitive for a man in blue to toss Justin.
We've seen some really good restraint from umpires this season. Some pretty strong arguments coming from both sides. That is the opposite end of that spectrum. Yeah, now Fairchild going to wait until Turner vacates the dugout. Justin still can't believe that it's him.
That's what you should do if you're the player. Stay there and make him re-identify you.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he did. It reminded me of like when Tim Duncan got thrown out by Joey Crawford one time because he was like sitting and laughing with a teammate.
Right.
And Crawford thought it was at him, and he just like tossed him from the game. That was embarrassing. Like, listen, maybe people don't feel as strongly as I do about you should be able to say whatever you want to umps.
Seems a little harsh.
Maybe there's a line. For me, there isn't one, but maybe there isn't.
Some, there's a line.
But you can't smile and wave. You're going to toss somebody from the game. And at that point, it was like the fourth inning. It was a one-run game. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're that, I don't know, sensitive about the whole thing?
Gabe Kapler got thrown out over the weekend for the first time in his career.
Yeah.
And got a standing ovation from the fans in Philadelphia because he got thrown out.
Yeah, showed a little life. So they were happy about that. But I just think that one's embarrassing. Like, Turner one's embarrassing.
And this gets back to the athletes involved. It seems as though baseball players are the most sensitive.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have, I mean,
know,
you,
basketball?
You have had the occasional, you know, Will McDonough dust up in the locker room with Raymond Claiborne, I think it was. You know, you have that, but it's kind of the stuff of legend.
Yeah. Ryan Leaf tried to fight that guy once.
Ryan Leaf that time. But for the most part, doesn't it seem like baseball? It happened. We had the Evan Drellick, David Price.
I think it's the
thing here.
Yeah, I think it's the grind. Don't you think? I mean, 162 games. I mean, it's just nonstop. You're going city to city, and it's so monotonous. And then you know things don't go well. There's so many failures within the game, and then you're asked about these questions. I think it's got to have the season's so long. I think that's what it is.
I've never understood why there has to be so much availability in baseball either. Like,
Yeah. You can't hear from Cora
when you get
four
to the,
times
when
a
you
day.
Get to the game to cover a Bruins game.
Yeah.
You don't get to go in the dressing room before the game.
Right.
If you see them at the morning skate, and they're optional now, but you know you can see them in the morning.
Right.
But when it's game time, you know you get to the arena that night. No, you don't get to go in. You don't get to go in the Celtics locker room before the game. You don't get to go in.
But there's no like nobody has to talk. The coach talks for 5 minutes. You know, both coaches talk before the game for 5 minutes, and that's about it.
You never get to go near the locker room in the NFL before a game.
No,
I mean,
but you barely do after.
Yeah,
the Patriots. Good luck.
But in baseball, it's incessant. It's interminable. Yeah, we're going to open up the clubhouse at 3:45. It'll be open for and I've been in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You've been in.
Yeah.
For the most part, people just stand there.
Yeah, just to say that you were there, I guess.
So that if I see my opponent, I'm in a head-to-head competition. Well, look at he's over talking to David Price.
Yeah.
I better go talk
getting
to David
scoop.
Price.
Getting a scoop over there.
You know, it's why are they there?
I don't know.
And I honestly think most reporters would rather not have to be there. Post-game, you understand. You're asking, hey, what happened there in the third inning? You know, what did you think when you threw that pitch? What are you talking to a guy before the game about?
In all of sports media, baseball beat writer has to be the most miserable job that there
is. There
it's not even close. I can't even think of a close second.
Day.
I know Rossi might say Dale and Keith producer.
Well,
I would say without question, radio, TV, websites, whatever, the worst job by far is the beat writer in baseball who goes to every single game in every single city. Because at least the players who are away from their families all the time make millions and millions of dollars. You're the beat writer. You are not making millions and millions of dollars. And then imagine covering a team like the Mets. At least now it's kind of exciting. Somebody's trying to fight you. But imagine covering a team like, you know, somewhere like the Marlins. You're like, oh, another story that nobody's going to read. Another city. What am I doing here? That job is so bad. And like you said, on top of it, it's not just the 162 games. It's the games at 7. Oh, but the skip is talking at 4 o'clock. I got to go get his one quote that I'm going to use in my article. And then the game's over at 10. I got to wait around till 11. That job sucks.
I mean, the stuff that they make managers, the availability they make managers responsible for, and not just, you know, like Belichick has to talk to the media on Wednesday, has to do the conference call on Wednesday.
Yeah, right.
You know, and Brady has to do a thing on Wednesday, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to talk to the reporters every single day of the week.
No.
And nor does he, nor would he.
No, not at all. And, you know, 16 games. You're doing 16 games. So even if you're covering a bad team, you go to 8 different cities. You get to, you know, watch the team, write the stories, and then there's a quick kind of shelf life to it. Baseball, holy smokes. That is a grind and a half.
A texter says that we're naive, that reporters are baiting. And there are probably some reporters who do.
I am not naive, sir.
I don't know Tim
Healy. My eyes are wide open on this one.
I don't know Tim Healy. We just talked to somebody a few minutes ago who does know Tim Healy.
Mm-hmm.
The equivalent we made earlier, it would be like if Alex Speer said, hey, see you tomorrow, Alex. One would think he's baiting Alex.
So did he bait Mickey Callaway or did he bait Jason Vargas? Or he baited them both? Like, right? I mean, Vargas tried to fight him. Callaway was swearing at him and telling him to get out of the clubhouse.
And yelling at the PR, get him the bleep out of here.
I think Mickey Callaway just knows that he's not a good manager. He's probably heard the riot act from the GM. He may have misread what one of the reporters said. He kind of snapped, and now at this point it's a little too late. And then on top of it, to make matters worse, this story's not nearly as big if you don't have the Vargas trying to fight him.
Vargas has to be held back by Noah Syndergaard.
If Vargas just walks out of there,
punch Tim Healy in the face.
Yeah. And this wasn't even a Vargas game, by the way. Vargas didn't pitch in the game.
No.
Like, obviously, you know, he was there, but this was a DeGrom game.
It's probably the single greatest skill that a manager has to have.
Not fighting the media?
Keeping a clubhouse that you said is every day, all day. It's 10 hours a day, every single day. Keeping everybody on an even keel so that they're not fighting with reporters. Maybe more importantly, they're not fighting with each other.
Well, and you wonder why the Red Sox, with new managers, have had so much success. Outside of Bobby Valentine, who's a disaster, but they win it the first year with Francona, they win it the first year with Farrell, they win it the first year with Cora, and it might almost just be that new guy, that new presence there, and sort of listening to him, how he does it, how he manages the locker room, and you can buy in because it's year one with that guy, and then really the trick is keeping that going after that.
I've talked to Francona about it, and he said, you just don't understand until you do it how onerous it is to be the manager of the Boston Red Sox. It is all day.
Hey, remember we talked to him last year about Cleveland and Boston,
yeah.
And he's like, it's so different, it's not even funny.
Night and day.
Right.
You know, in Cleveland, he rides his scooter into the park when he's coming from home.
And they don't know who it is.
Here, he's getting stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, people screaming at him for pitching changes in the seventh inning. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get to the calls with you coming up next, including people who continue to think that the Celtics can fix this. They introduced the 4 draft picks today.
Good.
They're all holding up their uniforms.
I like them.
No, I got no issues. You'll see like one or two of them contribute.
Big addition over the weekend, too.
Oh, will you
maybe
stop
the biggest.
With the big
maybe
addition?
The biggest,
well,
for sure.
We'll talk about the
tallest
12-foot wingspan and all that stuff after we trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Download the Radio.com app and take WEEI with you wherever you go. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Okay, because we like odds. Over-under, number of regular season games that we see Taco Fall play in a Celtics uniform. I'm going to set the number at 2.
All right, 2 seems
high.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
I will say over, because Dale, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Not that desperate.
This is not a great looking squad right now. Who are the big men currently on the Celtics? I'll flip it on. Exactly.
Time Lord.
Okay. Grant Williams, who was like 6'7". So all of a sudden, Taco Fall's got a little bit of a spot. So they got him. The 7'6 freak show out of Central Florida, who was great in the tournament against Duke. I said they should take him in the second round. They didn't. Nobody did. And then over the weekend, you find out that Taco Fall is signing with the Celtics at the minimum. Why not?
Well,
I don't think you'll be good or anything.
By the way,
why the hell
not? We keep getting these new terms. I'd never heard of an Exhibit 10 contract before.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
I don't either. And sometimes I think Woj is just making stuff up.
Yeah,
and
now
he's just playing us now.
I must have missed that in the last CBA.
I'm guessing what it means is an exhibition.
Yeah.
In this case, you know, Las Vegas Summer League. You know, it's not even a 10
Summer game League team is good,
it's by not
the
even
way.
A 10-day contract with the Celtics.
Yeah.
It's for Summer League.
Mm-hmm. He is the tallest guy ever at the NBA draft combine, longest wingspan and standing reach. Can you beat that, anybody? No. Didn't think so.
Can't play a lick.
What do you mean?
Well, have you
seen play against Duke?
Yeah, it was great.
He looked good against Duke.
He looked great against Duke.
He had the game of his career.
He did have the game of his career.
They should have beaten Duke. They really should have.
They had them.
They had
them on the ropes.
There was a real, they kind of fell apart there.
All right, you think that, and we'll play the game here.
Yeah.
Let's extend that out. The game of his career against Duke.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to have a career in the NBA?
A career? No. Probably not a career. But maybe he could play here and there, play in the G League a little bit.
He's going to, if he's on the Celtics roster, if that happens,
yeah,
he's going to become the human Geno.
Oh, I would like that.
People are going to be chanting for his name, you know.
You don't think he can protect the rim?
Late in games, they're up by 20, and
yeah,
people
are
going, Taco.
Every Tuesday, you have to play him. You have to play him because it's Taco Tuesday. He comes running out there. You can tie in some sort of sponsor, or you bring him out there just for the opening tip. You want to win that tip, get the momentum, and then take him out. Sub him out right away.
Major sponsor of the NBA?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Look at that. Taco Fall. That's your guy. I just think there's actually a path for him to make the team because based on the roster right now, they don't have any big men at all. And maybe they'll go get one. You know, Vucevic is a name that keeps coming out there. They still have money to spend, so maybe they'll be able to spend it on him. But if not, like, I have no expectations for this guy. But if he plays in a couple of games, I wouldn't be shocked. It's not like this is... you know, the Celtics, even from this year, where you have Al Horford and Aaron Baines and guys like that that are clearly going to get minutes over him. Right now, it's wide open. Like, if I ask you right now...
At least he makes me want to watch a summer league game.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, just to see what he looks like.
Like, I don't know how good Time Lord is. Time Lord had... He had a couple of, like, decent moments this past regular season. But I wouldn't bet on Time Lord playing a whole lot. So give me Taco. He shot 75% from the field last year.
Number of shots outside of 3 feet.
Listen, I don't have all the stats. I don't have the advanced numbers, Dale, but he's 75% from the floor.
The big question people have is, can he compare it to George Marison?
Yeah, George Marison. Yeah.
Like, probably. He played for, what, 10 years?
He had a sneaky long career.
Washington Bullets teams. Like, can he
Manute
have Bull a career like
for
that?
A while? And he's thicker than Manute Bol, too. Manute Bol was rail thin.
Or he was going to be like Hashim Thabeet and just disappear.
Yeah, he could be a lot like Hashim Thabeet. However, taking a guy undrafted versus second overall, much smarter.
Oh, I'm okay with.
I think Danny
I got no issues with,
yeah.
with.
Oh, yeah, take him. That's what
give
I'm
him the Exhibit 10 contract, whatever
like
the hell that means.
I don't know.
Stick
either.
Him on the Summer League roster. Well, that's fine.
The Celtics drafted Fab Melo, rest in peace, in the first round. And that guy you knew was going to suck. Like, right away. You're like, this guy's awful. Again. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but just as a basketball player, he's awful. He got hurt walking into a doorway. But anyway, he was really tall. He was a guy that just, they put him there in the 2-3 zone, and he just blocked a bunch of shots. And they're like, oh, this is going to work. It didn't work. But again, you were investing a first-round pick. Even though it was in the 20s, it was still a first-round pick. This is a different. Why the hell not? Marison, by the way, played 6 seasons.
Actually, I round up.
In one of those seasons, he played one game.
Well,
he played
counts.
5 seasons. Yeah.
Still round up.
If Taco Fall plays 5 seasons, that's a big win for him.
The chances,
anybody undrafted.
What are the chances you think he plays 5 seasons?
Like slim.
1%.
As slim as Manute Bol.
Dale doesn't think he's making 5 games.
Yeah, no.
No, I don't.
No,
I,
that, well, that's the safer bet right now.
Now, going back undrafted. To his big game in the NCAA tournament, your good friend and mine, well, I guess mine now. your man Francesa had some thoughts.
Oh, good.
On.
I just wanted to ask you about Taco Fall.
You know, I was impressed by him.
In the NBA?
He definitely can play in the NBA. Absolutely can play in the NBA. He's got an idea what he's doing. He's obviously got to do what's very important for any of those guys that size is build stamina. He has to do that so he can run the floor. I thought he did some good things yesterday. I really did. So I think he can absolutely play in the NBA. And he was a deterrent. There's no question. He was a very good rim protector for them. They had a lot of trouble getting the ball inside when he was in the game.
Is he going to declare, you think, or come back?
I don't know what his deal is. I don't know what his, you know, I wouldn't rush him if I were them. The time will help him. He'll be better suited the more he learns the game, the more he learns footwork, the more he learns the little things, you know, just me being able to move his feet inside, learn a little bit of a drop step game,
whoa,
that kind of stuff where the footwork could make all the difference for him.
There's Mike Francesa, the NBA scout, breaking it down. That's good enough for me.
The scouting report.
This is a steal of the draft.
This was in the immediate aftermath of the Duke game.
Yeah, back in March, probably. Yeah. But he played 4 years there at Central Florida. He was in the All AAC last year. That's pretty good.
He definitely can play in the NBA.
100% he can.
I'm feeling better and better about my over under number now.
Yeah, you might be right on that. But
I got no issues with Danny giving him a look. Absolutely, go for it.
Think about this. He is, what, 3 or 4 inches taller than Bol Bol, right? Bol Bol's like 7'2". Taco Fall's 7'6". But Taco is 100 pounds heavier than Bol Bol. Because one of the big concerns you have with these like freak shows is that like they get hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Because like you're not supposed to be that
spindly
big.
Spindly and
well, like giantism, isn't that part of it? Like it's kind of a scary thing. But at least he looks like he's not gonna snap a bone at any second.
He's listed at 311 pounds.
So I'm saying 100 pounds more than Bol Bol. Bol Bol's like 210.
Yeah, but how many NBA players have been successful at over 300 pounds?
Yeah, but he's stretching it out over 7'6". Shaq was over 300 pounds.
Well, Shaq.
Oliver Miller was over 300 pounds.
Successful.
Oliver Miller? You didn't like Oliver Miller?
No.
Nice player. What about Big Country Reeves?
Successful.
Shaq. Charles Barkley.
Shaq, you got.
Charles Barkley.
You think Barkley was over 3?
No
way.
No, no, no.
He is now.
What about with the Rockets? Those last couple of years, he might have been. With the Sixers, he was actually
kind of undersized.
Kind of svelte. Well, he was like 6'4".
But I'm saying in terms of he didn't have enough beef going early on in his career.
No, no. So 300 pounds, yeah, it's probably not a huge list necessarily. But again, he's 7'6". Come on.
He's going to be worth watching in the Summer League.
Yeah,
the Summer League, all
of a sudden, Summer League is going to have a reason to watch.
Do you watch Summer League games anyway? I bet you do.
I do.
You do.
I do.
If he wasn't playing, you'd be watching anyway.
Between Carson Edwards and what he did in the tournament for Purdue, Taco Fall and just being a freak show, and then you throw in Romeo Langford, maybe the Time Lord, it's one of the more compelling Summer League teams to watch
in the
whole NBA.
We also drafted a guy who, you know, Brad Stevens, so I don't know how good. He had surgery. I don't know. I don't know if he can play.
Your guess is as good as mine. Go, wait a minute. What? Hold on a second.
Maybe he won't be playing in the
Summer
League.
Also, they'll have to get a photo with Tremont Waters, who they drafted out of LSU, who's like
5'10".
Not even.
They list him at 5'10".
He's a little bit of a guy.
Yeah.
Have him maybe
him
on,
and Taco Fall together.
Maybe Taco can hold him up so he can make a dunk. It's like, here, come here. That'd be a fun thing. They need to get a side-by-side with those two. They'd be like, here we go. Celtics don't have a chance at a title, but they got these guys. Nice buddy cop.
I mean,
comedy.
The one thing about Taco Fall when he was playing against Duke or anybody else was he didn't have to roam a whole lot. You know, here, you go stand right there, right under the basket, right there, and just swat everything away that comes down in there.
I feel like if you put a guy on, if he has to guard somebody that can shoot threes, you might be in a little bit of trouble.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but not everybody can.
He's a little slow.
Yeah, well, fine. That's
okay.
All right. But he can protect the rim.
Except you can't stand in there like you do in college.
Just outside. You can play zone in the NBA. You can't camp out in the paint. Just take a step out. Still be a nice deterrent for some of those guards coming in.
Rim protector. That's the phrase. We'll just keep using rim protector.
I think he's definitely a rim protector.
The Summer League starts next week or the week after?
Yeah, something like that. It's pretty soon. Like it's a pretty quick turnaround for those guys.
He definitely can play in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sold. I don't need to hear anything else.
Danny, forget that Exhibit 10 contract. Get his name on a big deal here.
Well, they absolutely can play in the NBA.
They got plenty of roster space with all these guys leaving them. He could be on the roster.
He'll be the human Geno.
That's fine with me.
Down there at the end of the bench.
Still in the league. Pretty good.
Taco.
He would be a fan favorite for sure.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll get into some phone calls with you guys coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to the best.
You don't just wake up one day and become the best.
And confident.
You need to be confident in yourself, Dale. That's what you would have to be.
It's Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
So Tom Brady posted on Twitter and Instagram some still photos and a short video of apparently him throwing in his backyard. He's got a pretty big backyard, by the way.
Sure does.
Throwing in his backyard to Josh Gordon. I mentioned to you last week that I had it on very credible sources that Gordon had been spending a lot of time at Tom Brady's house. He was there almost every day.
Hopefully he's sleeping there.
Well, that's the question.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because apparently, according to some... it's almost at the point now where Tom Brady is, and I would assume by extension, Giselle, they're almost fostering Josh Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Josh Gordon is a teammate. I think Tom Brady has consistently shown concern and compassion for teammates, but this might be taking it one step beyond. So much so that Jeff Darlington says Tom Brady's invested.
I don't know how many people know this, but when Josh Gordon got to the Patriots, Tom recognized, this is the type of leader that Tom is, that maybe get underplayed. And I know everybody talks about what a leader is. But he recognized that Josh Gordon made the team better. And he recognized that he was going to need some attention. Josh Gordon was going out to dinner with Tom Brady and Giselle at times because Tom recognized that he needed to bring this guy in, foster him, make him feel like he is at home, recognizing some of the issues that Josh Gordon goes through. So while that is in part a guy just trying to get better, it's also Tom Brady being a really good person, continuing to try to help and manifest Josh Gordon. And Tom Brady to this day really respects Josh Gordon and would love to see him live a better life.
So I did not know that apparently Josh Gordon was taking meals with Tom Brady and Giselle at times last year. Unfortunately, we know how that ended.
Right.
You know, the Patriots tendered him a contract in the offseason. He signed the tender. If he plays football anywhere this season, it will be for the New England Patriots. I guess the question is, do you think he's going to play football for anybody this season?
Well,
I heard Wiggy this morning say, absolutely not. He will not play this year.
That's what my original thought was, but that's changed just because we haven't gotten anything on it. And when Roger Goodell, even go all the way back to the Super Bowl, when he was asked about it, and he seems to have a relationship with him. And the league has gotten so many things wrong when it's come to suspensions before, in my opinion, whether they've over suspended people like in the case of Josh Gordon before or under suspended people like Ray Rice initially.
Yep.
They've screwed so many things up that now I'm starting to think just because they did something in the past again to Josh Gordon doesn't mean he would get the same punishment now, because normally you would say, well, how on earth can you,
and this would be his third suspension, isn't
right.
this isn't this lifetime,
and if it's for the same stuff, how is it now all of a sudden going to be less than it was before? But again,
stuff
when you really
which,
look
by
into
the way,
it,
is legal in this state now.
Right, and if it's just that,
because I think Tommy Curran reported what we've expected, suspected all along, it's marijuana use.
Yes, and so that is, as a league, you have to start to look at that differently when states, including the one where the team plays, it's legal in, and more states it's being legal in. How can you treat it as though these guys are doing something else, like, you know, cocaine or like whatever, all this other stuff? This should be looked at differently. So I'm starting to think that maybe he does play. I really think there's a chance. And it's also, it's interesting when you see how close he has become with Tom Brady, because when they first acquired him, I know a lot of people had questions. They're like, well, how do you keep this guy on the field? And, you know, you can't just babysit him. Like, how's that going to work? Well, I mean, I guess you can't, but you can come somewhat close to it. Can't, like, you can. And apparently what happened last year was it was the bye week. Like, the bye week got to him. And some of us sort of looked at that and said, well, you know, that's a week where you get a little bit out of your normal routine, maybe a little bit more time to yourself. And would he get caught up in this, you know, his old patterns? And he did. But now it seems like they're still trying to give him a chance. And I wouldn't be shocked now if the league did too. Maybe like an 8-game suspension or something like that. He's not going to be able to play week one.
No.
But if he gets some sort of suspension, and then everybody's rooting for him. I mean, the league should be rooting for him. The team is obviously rooting for him. The fans are rooting for him. So you hope he can turn around, but there's certainly no guarantee.
Well, let's go to Roger Goodell from March and what he answered when asked about the Josh Gordon situation.
The first thing right now is the focus on Josh himself as a young man and what he needs to do to get his life on the right track. And that's what our focus is. So we have resources. We're supporting that. That's our hope, to make sure he gets on the right track. Once he gets on the right track, we'll get to that place. But I think right now he's had, a complete focus on, I've got to get myself off the field in the right place before I can get back on the field.
So that almost seems
he
like
it doesn't make it sound like he can't get. I mean, theoretically, a third suspension is supposed to be for life.
Yeah.
But he's talking about, get yourself in, you know, fixed off the field, and then we'll worry about getting fixed on the field. Well, it sounds like that's certainly an option.
But doesn't that sound like it's almost up to Gordon? Like, to come to them and be like, hey, listen, 2 months clean or whatever it might be. Right. This is what I've been doing. This is who I've been talking with. This is how I plan to stay clean. Like, if he presents them with evidence and like outline what I want to do going forward, I wonder if at that point we'll finally get a ruling on him, and they'll say, hey, this sounds great, or at least I'm hoping. They say, hey, this sounds great. We still do need to suspend you, but it'll be for this, and hopefully, you know, when it's up, you're going to be able to play and turn your life around.
This is that period of time where players kind of, you know, scatter to the four winds. You know, they've gone through OTAs, they've gone through mini camps, all that stuff. The next stop is training camp, and players get away. It doesn't escape me that Tom Brady and Josh Gordon are throwing the football in the backyard at a time when many players are using this as, okay, I got one last chance to relax before we have to go back to work.
Because to me, that's all part of the plan, too. Because, again, if you take Roger Goodell at his word then, all the way back in whatever it was, February, if you take him at his word, Gordon needs to do something. So it can't be, oh, I'm just going to sit at my house and wait till the season starts and then reapply for reinstatement in the league and then see what happens. No, you got to show it. You got to try to prove to them that you do deserve another chance. And again, it does seem kind of weird. There might be a gray area, because normally the collective bargaining agreement, you take a look at it, and if this is what you do, you get suspended this number of games, and it should be pretty cut and dry. But with Josh Gordon, it seems like there is an opening for him to return.
He was suspended indefinitely by the National Football League. This most recent suspension, he was suspended indefinitely for violation of the league's substance abuse policy. This happened back in December. That's when all of a sudden he just sort of disappeared here.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, Gordon said in a statement, quote, I take my mental health very seriously at this point to ensure I remain able to perform at the highest level. I've recently felt like I could have a better grasp on things mentally. With that said, I will be stepping away from the football field for a bit to focus on my mental health. Well, that was just before, you know, he stepped away just before they suspended him.
Yeah, because he's been suspended so many times throughout his career. I mean, look at the lost seasons that he has had in there. And this is a guy, too, that had to go, you know, into the league through the supplemental draft, so already there's stuff going on. Then he misses the entire 2015 season, the entire 2016 season. He only plays in 5 games in 17, and then 12 games back in 18. So it's just – or last year. So your guess is as good as mine. I think everybody – we don't really know what's going to happen with him, but I think him being out there with Brady and Brady showing his support for him – that's a positive sign, and that's sort of it gives you a chance that he's back.
He is one of the question marks facing the Patriots as they prepare for training camp in about a month. We'll run through some of the other question marks for this team going into this offseason or going into the final month before training camp. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.